This is Keep On Cooking, a podcast for people who love cookbooks and want to know more about the authors. It's also a great place to get a weekly dose of culinary inspiration to keep things pumping in the kitchen. So grab a cookbook and keep on cooking. I'm Dustin Harder, and this is Keep On Cooking. Hello, and welcome to Keep On Cooking, the only podcast dedicated to plant-based cookbooks. I'm your host, Dustin Harder, and hey, here by myself for a solo week with y'all. I guess I'm not alone. You're on the other side listening, so how you doing? I'm just living my life trying to get back to a normal life after having a hernia surgery, Then I got the flu right after, as David and I spoke about, I think, last week. Boo-hoo, woe is me. Everything's great. I am so grateful to have the ability to have a body that's healing and all is well. It's just I'm such a doer. Like, I'm always on my feet. So it's just been tricky in that aspect, right? So I've been excited to get back in the kitchen. I recipe tested a lasagna last night because babies, let me tell you, I'm going to get a little bit more into lasagna, I've decided in my life, because I think it's the perfect food. I think it's hearty. I think it's satiating. I think it's fun. I think it's packed full of flavor. And let me tell you, every time I serve one to a group, it's like, around the table, everyone's like, yes, I love this. Yes, I want seconds. So I'm like, let me get crafty in the lasagna world. What else can I do? Because I'm into it. I'm into the lasagna love. So last night I recipe tested a butternut, kale, and leek lasagna with a bechamel sauce. And honeys, let me tell you, it was it. It was really it. So much so that my pal Becky Streepy from Glue and Glitter lives here in Atlanta. She was like, yes, can I have a piece, please? And I was like, actually, there's four pieces left, babes. So why don't you come grab them for you and your family? And I can't wait to hear what she thinks about it. Though I will say this, and I don't know if everyone else has this problem. I did Instacart because, you know, I got to tell you, I'm recipe testing all the time. So Instacart is very helpful. And they grabbed me an acorn squash instead of a butternut, which is not a direct great substitute. It's a little more fibrous than butternut squash, but I still used it because I was like, I don't have time. I wanted to do this tonight. I want to get it done. What's other things I've been recipe testing? I just did a Biscoff strawberry parfait cheesecake that I'm going to do in a summer class coming up at the Chopping Block in Chicago. And I did today, I'm going to do a peach bruschetta. With whipped tofu ricotta, but I got to get a new baguette because this one's a little too crusty that I'm looking at over here. That's also going to be for my summer foods class. I also just recipe tested. See, I told you, back on my feet, getting up and going here. I also just recipe tested a summer orzo salad. So whole wheat orzo with tomatoes, cucumbers, red onion, all that yummy stuff, and feta cheese. Oh, and then I put mint, parsley, and basil in there, babies. Oh, David and I were a little obsessed with it. I took it and I took a big bed of kale and I massaged in some, it's California balsamic, that oil-free dressing, but massaged that in there and then I topped it with this pasta that had a red wine vinaigrette that I made for it. Oh, so good. That's a couple of things that are going to be in that summer foods class. Here's the thing, I can rely on when I create these classes and I work with the Chopping Block or whatever school it is, I can rely on recipes that I've had for years and I like to, and that's fine. But man, sometimes it's just fun to really start going back to the drawing board. You know, I'm talking with the Chopping Block more because I'm going to be in Chicago and I was like, I want to do a summer foods class, and they're on board for it. And I was like, I pulled all these recipes I already have and I was like, you know, I want something different. I want something new because, you know, we're like dinosaurs. We change. We grow. I'm saying that's why dinosaurs aren't here, because the world changes. We change as people. So I was excited to create a few new things to bring to the table for the summer foods class. And then this lasagna, different lasagnas have just been popping up in my brain. So I was just real excited to kind of get in the kitchen and whip that up last night. But listen, we're not talking about these recipes today. We're talking about a book called Tofu Cookery. Now, if you've been listening, I know you're surprised that my solo book right now is not Annie's Raw Food Kitchen, because I did Laura Miller's cookbook, Raw Vegan Not Gross, a few weeks ago. And in that, I had the conversation of like, where is Laura Miller? Where is Annie Fio? These goddesses of the raw food world have sort of fallen off all social media interaction, which again, no shade to that. I was like, is there a coincidence in this? Like, these humans who create in the raw food space also usually have an understanding of the connection of, like, you know, mind, body, health, and just being self-care, you know, self-care and mental health. And social media is not always the best for mental health. So I had to wonder, I was like, but I reached out to Annie Fio and a couple of the outlets, because what's interesting is while she's not on social media anymore, she's there, but no posts since 2019, I think. And then her website's still up, but it's not updated. Hold on, I'm going to take a sip of my juice. Her website is still up, but it's not updated. So I was like, well, let me reach out to the contacts, see who I can find. No response from Annie Fio yet. But when I posted Laura Miller's episode, y'all, she messaged me. She loved the episode. And she was like, I might be coming back. And I'm like, girl, we need you. Come on back. Everyone on that episode is like, we miss Laura Miller. So Laura, not that I expect you to be listening again, but if you are, please come back. Everybody loves you. Everybody misses you. You're a great gal doing great things and your work is amazing. So we would love to have you again. But listen, what we're talking about today is, I took a detour from the raw, where in the world is Annie Fio, giving her, you know, maybe a little more time to respond to me. If not, then we're going to attack that book, Annie's Raw Food Kitchen, because I just made, again, I made the beautifying pumpkin milk from there, and I love it so much. Shout out to Jill Eckert, my supervisor at work and dear friend. She, a couple weeks ago in a meeting, was like, oh, so-and-so suggested this pumpkin milk, and I was like, what? And then I was like, wait, I have that. She was like, it's so good. And then I made it. And I was like, gosh, she's right. And now I've made it two times, y'all. Which says a lot for me when I keep returning to something. But anyway, I took a detour from the raw food world and talking about those books because, speaking of Instacart mishaps, Instacart sent me so much tofu. I think I ordered tofu two blocks and I ended up with 6 blocks of tofu. And I was like, David, we have so much tofu now. What am I going to do with all this tofu? And then I was like, I started flipping through all my books, which, oh my gosh, everybody, not to side tangent again. I swear I'm going to get rolling here. But I just went through all of my cookbooks, every single one of them, because we're going to be moving. We're doing a big move. And David and I have really like cleared out a lot of our home. I'd say 50% of our possessions. And so the cookbooks were the big thing for me to go through. They were kind of, I mean, everything's not done, but they kept getting pushed off because I was like, gosh, I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so stressed out by looking at those books. I don't know what to keep. I don't know what to donate. I don't know what to sell. I don't know what to do. And when I look, the thing is, when I hold a cookbook in my hand, it's like I'm almost quantum leaped to whoever wrote the book, because I feel in my hands, I'm like, so much work went into this book. And I really can appreciate and respect, even if I get it into my opinion, it's not necessarily a good book. That's not always the author's fault, by the way. Sometimes that's the publisher. But I still know a lot of hard work went into that book. So I hold these books in my hand and I'm like, oh, so I went through all my books. I had 276. I eliminated 50. I'm not going to talk about whose books got eliminated, but all I'm saying is 50 ended up on the chopping block, okay? So I eliminated 50 books. But what was awesome that I was able to do is I went through and I was able to put them all down in a spreadsheet. So now when we move into our next home, one of three things is going to happen. We're either going to get a beautiful, glorious home that's got a built-in bookshelf in the wall, and it's all going up on there, and it's going to look amazing and stunning and glorious, or it's going to get pared down even more. We're going to get a small, tiny home, condo, and I'm going to get rid of, 200 of them, 215 of them, just have 50. I don't know, you know. Or I'm going to put them in storage, though I don't see myself doing that. Though I will say they didn't take up as much space in storage totes as I thought they would. So you never know. The world is open to what could happen. All I do know is this. Since they've been in storage totes, because we're going to move them for storage for the showing of our home, I have gone back to several books that are in those storage bins again and again. Listen, I'm a cookbook author. I'm a recipe developer. I'm a podcast host for a podcast that focuses on cookbooks. And it should not be surprising that I've gone back just because I want to know this or that, or what did they do here? Or like, whose book was this? When? What happened? Like all the things. So I love vegan cookbooks. That's why we're here today. But I said to David, roll us back to where we were here with the tofu. I was like, I got all this tofu. I was like, there's things I could do, but man, I wish I just had a book that was a tofu book. So of course I was like, well, there's gotta be. So I go to trusty Amazon, type in tofu cookbook. To my surprise, y'all, not that many. But then we all know how much I love an OG book, right? A vegan book that was popping around in the 80s or 90s. Oh, I can't get enough of them. Because to me, those are simple. Like, that's going to be simple food at its finest. So I found this book called The Tofu Cookery. The Tofu Cookery by Louise Hagler. I think it came out in 1983. Yes. So this is a revised edition, 25th anniversary, revised and updated edition. But let me tell you about this book. And I'll tell you, of course, I went through all that tofu before I even got the book in classic me fashion, because I was like, oh, I'll use it for this. I'll use it for that. I'll use it for this. I'll use it for that. And we ate it all. It's fine. But let me tell you about this book. Since 1983, Tofu Cookery has been America's premier authority on how to make tofu taste delicious. Several generations of cooks have discovered the versatility of this healthful soy food through the range of comfort foods and gourmet dishes found between the covers of this treasured volume. Tofu has gained a well-earned reputation over the years as an economical source of high quality, easily digestible, cholesterol-free protein. In this revised 25th anniversary edition, all the recipes have been updated for today's nutritional standards using reduced quantities of more healthful fats and less salt. Many new recipes have been added to reflect more current taste and trends and to complement the old favorites everyone has loved over the years. Sumptuous foods, love that word, sumptuous. Sumptuous photos with tofu on the center stage will tempt you and help you envision how your finished dishes will look. Now, let me tell you something about photos, y'all. It is amazing what was considered... Just, we've come leaps and bounds in the photography world. So like I said, it's an OG book. It's still giving you some of those OG type photos, right? But that's kind of what I love about it so much. Let's talk about Louise Hagler. We've talked about her before because she was the editor of the New Farm Vegetarian Cookbook. So we covered that book quite some time ago. Louise Hagler is a pioneer in creating vegan cuisine with tofu and other soy foods to satisfy the Western palate. Besides being a cookbook author, Louise is a mother and grandmother, food writer and food stylist, and traveling culinary teacher. She also works with Plenty International, a not-for-profit alternative relief and development organization, as a soy technician and nutrition educator in Mexico and Guatemala. For over 30 years, Louise has continued to create vegan cookbooks that present a wide variety of taste, easy to prepare, familiar dishes, incorporating soy foods of all kinds. Some of her other books include Tofu Quick and Easy. Now, why didn't I see that? Because I probably would have went for that first. Girl, you know it's true. Or maybe not, because again, I love the title of this, Tofu Cookery, and just, it's an OG book. And we know I'm here for it. Other books, Tofu Quick and Easy, Miso Cookery, Soy Foods Cookery, Lighten Up with Louise Hagler, and Meatless Burgers. So my goodness, let's dive right in, shall we? I prattled on enough for this episode. It's amazing. I always think I'm not going to have anything to say. And apparently I just love talking to myself. But again, I'm not alone. You are here with me on the other side, and I appreciate you being here. Okay. First chapter is appetizers, dips, and spreads. All right, what do we got? Oh, guys, so many dips. All you look at the contents of this, it says dip, 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 dip. Okay, we start off with veggie sushi, then rice paper rolls with tofu and peanut dipping sauce. Mm-hmm. Garlic cucumber dip, wasabi ginger dip or spread, walnut olive dip, dried onion soup dip. Now hold up, what are we doing for dried onion soup dip? She says, this is the classic California dip made with tofu instead of sour cream. Now, is dried onion soup dip a California dip? Is that a thing? I need to look this up, see if I can get the origin of this. Because that, how is that a California thing? Where did onion, well, that's not answering it for me. Oh my goodness. Los Angeles, 1954. It is a California delicacy, apparently. Who knew? All right. So she says this is the classic California dip made with tofu instead of sour cream. Process in a food processor and blender until smooth and creamy. It's got regular tofu. It says soft regular tofu. So that to me is going to be soft tofu, not silken tofu. Great. Olive oil, optional. She gives you optional on here. Freshly squeezed lemon juice and sweetener of your choice. And a package of dried onion soup mix. Wow. Guys, I want to make this like yesterday. It feels very Christmassy to me. You know, I'm a Midwest boy at heart, which I'm just owning in my older years now. I used to be like, I'm East Coast, New York, which is still really the core of my heart. But I got Midwestern roots, and I do remember onion dip. Anyway, it goes on. We got the dip. So we got dried onion soup dip. We just talked about chive dip, dill dip, roasted red pepper dip, garlic dip, almond dip, jalapeno dip, cilantro jalapeno dip, miso ginger dip, guacamole dip, creamy chipotle dip, curry paste dip, caper spread, parsley onion dip, and green onion dip. Now, I'm curious about this guacamole dip, because like, are we using, are we making like a guacamole with tofu, or what really is happening here? Yeah, so we got avocado, and we're not using any tofu in this. So I'm going to call, we are. Two ripe avocados with fresh tomato and tofu salad dressing that's in the book. So this got to be like it's got to be like a creamy, almost like a avocado crema, I would imagine. What do we say we do with the, doesn't say what to do with the avocados. Oh, mash. So it's going to be creamy with like some texture because they're mashed. Well, look at that little spin on guacamole there. Make it a guacamole dip. I love that. Okay, so our next chapter is soups. I love a soup. We're in the winter. There is a really pretty picture here. It looks like a zucchini soup on the cover here, or on the page that starts the chapter. She says, a soup is only as tasty as its base. Powdered vegetable bouillon cubes, vegetable broth, and aseptic cartons and miso offer quick and tasty solutions for soup stock. Whether a soup is creamy or chunky, tofu will add protein and personality. Try it in a variety of forms such as chewy frozen tofu, creamy blended tofu, or soft cubes. If you use blended tofu for creating creamy soups, don't let the soup boil after you have added it, as it could curdle. Hot soups make great comfort food in cold weather, and cold soups are refreshing in cooling and hot weather. Well, there you go. With so much versatility, soup is ideal for year-round fare. Agreed, Louise. I agree. All right. I'm going to put my juice aside, y'all, because that's got to be kind of annoying when I've told you that David and I are obsessed with our juicer, I think. Right now I'm drinking a beet, carrot, ginger, orange juice with a little bit of lemon in there too. It's so good, y'all. Okay. So the first one we've got is a zucchini bisque, cucumber gazpacho. How y'all feel about gazpacho? Let me tell you, I was not having it for a very long time. And then David and I just went on vacation for the first time in like 10 years to Puerto Vallarta. And there was a cute little sort of vegetarian section on the menu. Most of the stuff was vegan, and one of them was a cucumber gazpacho soup. And I was like, I'm going to get it because we're by the pool, and like, why not? I loved it. I freaking loved it. I loved it so much. So now I'm like, I need to be a little nicer to gazpacho. So here's another cucumber gazpacho. I got to give it a go. Quick vegetable miso soup with tofu, mushroom tofu noodle soup, minestrone, curried tofu apple soup, tofu chowder, watercress soup, tomato soup with chickpeas and cumin, tomato rice soup with tofu, lentil soup, miso soup with tofu and wakame, hot and sour soup, spring soup, and Mexican corn soup. You guys, all these great soups. Spring, the hot and sour soup, just a straight up miso soup, here for it. And then we're looking at a tofu chowder. Do we want to take a closer look? Do we want to get a magnifying glass here and just dive in a little bit to this tofu chowder? Okay. So we got olive oil, onions, celery, carrots, great. All the things we know and love. Potatoes, fantastic. Water, unsweetened soy milk. The tofu is there. Salt, freshly ground black pepper, and celery seeds. So that's going to sound like a straightforward tofu chowder. Easy. I mean, my gosh, you guys, these recipes, that's what I love about these OG books. These recipes are so straightforward. They're no muss, no fuss. There's not long list of instructions. At this two-page spread I'm looking at right now, there is a photo, and there are three recipes that fit on here. So they're getting bang for their buck, putting everything in this book that they can. I love it. All right. Salads is our next chapter here. And man, she is giving you the goods here. So we got a Greek salad, an almond salad, roasted vegetable salad with tofu, Spanish tofu rice salad, tofu lentil salad, Asian slaw, salad sans poulet, sprouted, what is that? Do you think she tells me what it is? Let's find out here. Salad sans poulet. Do you know what a poulet is? Hit me up in the DMs if you do. Try this chicken-free salad stuffed in a pita bread, served as a salad on lettuce or mesclun or in a sandwich. So I wonder, is poulet a form of saying pita? Poulet. This is the salad sans poulet. I'm looking it up right now. That's me trying to kill time as I look it up. Chicken stands for chicken. That's French for chicken. So the chicken salad is what she's... I get it. Okay, great. Well, if you're not French, you wouldn't know. And I'm not French. I also don't speak French. But now we know. Poulet. I see that it's kind of like poultry. I got you. Okay. Cottage tofu salad. Is that cottage cheese? Is she making us some cottage cheese? Serve this versatile mixture as a sandwich spread, dip, or salad in a bed of lettuce. Yeah, it looks like perhaps it is. Yep. She's given us a cottage cheese variation in here. I kind of love that because let me be real. Like, I'm never like, ooh, I need cottage cheese. But there's times when I'm like, ooh, some nice like chilled cottage cheese would be yummy with this. I don't know if that's weird. We ate it a lot when I was a kid. It was always in the house. Always a little container of cottage cheese. Anyway, we got golden tofu salad, savory tofu salad, tabbouleh, cucumber boats, potato tofu salad, sesame tofu salad, cucumber tomato salad, lettuce rolls, canteen fruit and vegetable salad, apple nut salad, creamy apple canteen gel with fruit, canton maybe? Gosh, I'm really getting my... yes, so that's going to be the gel, canton, and she's using... canton is another word for agar. Look at everything we're learning here. Canton, not canteen, canton. So this is like a jello salad from the sounds of it. Yes. Also, agar, also known as canton, is a plant-based gelatin made from sea vegetables. It comes in flaked or in powder, ready to be dissolved in hot liquid. The fruit gel can be served as a salad or a light dessert. Look at that. Any combination of fruits can be enjoyed in season or from the freezer. Using frozen fruit causes the gel to become firm almost immediately. Well, I want a jello salad. I might make this. See, nowadays we would have called that a jello fruit and vegetable salad in a cookbook. But maybe back then, canton was all the rage. Everyone knew what the word meant. I don't know. Highly unlikely, I doubt it. Or we'd call it an agar fruit salad so people knew that it was agar. But you do you, Louise. Apple nut salad, creamy apple canton gel with fruit. Oh, that's the one we're talking about. Frozen fruit salad, spring quinoa salad, and salad dressings and sauces. Well, let's see what she's just got sort of stacked under there. Ooh la la. Okay, I'm going to give you the list of dressings here. I mean, this is really cool. All these dressings you can make with a tofu base. Wow. Tahini tofu lemon sauce, Thousand Island dressing, creamy Italian dressing, avocado salad dressing, dill salad dressing, tofu aioli, cucumber salad dressing, green goddess dressing, Russian dressing, creamy sweet and sour poppy seed fruit salad dressing, sweet and spicy fruit salad, lemon caper dressing, tofu sour cream dressing, tofu salad dressing, tartar sauce, hollandaise sauce, horseradish sauce, and silken miso sauce. She really gets into it there with the dressings for you. Love her for that. Lots of great things to try there. That's actually going to take us to the fun of it. We're getting to the main dishes here, okay? So when we're looking at main dishes, what are we looking at? She says, versatile tofu takes on so many shapes, forms, textures, and flavors for main dishes. It is not just for stir fries. As a high protein staple that absorbs and showcases whatever flavors are added to it, tofu can take the place of meat and similar animal-based foods in any conventional dish. Many ethnic dishes lend themselves well to incorporating tofu. Firm and extra firm tofu work best in dishes where it's important for the tofu to retain its shape. Frozen tofu offers the most chewy texture and provides maximum absorption of flavoring. That is so true. Tofu also does an exceptional job of standing in for ricotta in dishes like lasagna. Now, I got to tell you, there's this whole... I hated pressing tofu. I couldn't stand it. So I started creating recipes where I didn't have to press it. But there is a value to it. So I don't tend to marinate tofu a lot. So I'll toss it with some spices and stuff and bake it off or air fry it off. There's lots of flavor to it still. But if you want to marinate it and really soak up some flavors, you want to press it so that then the liquid is out of it and then it's going to suck up that marinade essentially, right? And I was sort of resistant to that for a while. And I had a friend who was really fighting me on it. But then I had another friend who was like, pressing's the worst. I'm with you. So like, you know, wherever you go, there you are, right? You know what I'm saying? Holy moly. She's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six sections. All that to say, sorry to finish that. Sometimes I press my tofu, sometimes I don't. If it's a liquid marinade, I'm pressing my tofu, so it absorbs the liquid. If I'm doing a dry rub, I'm probably not going to press it. Okay. She's got six sections here. Center of the plate, casseroles, savory pies, and one pot dishes, stir fries, burgers, patties, balls, and filled rolls, and pasta with tofu, and then portable food. Ooh. All right. So we're going to dig into the center of the plate. We got barbecue tofu, Korean barbecue tofu, apricot orange barbecue, chewy tofu nuggets, sesame tofu. Okay, so chewy tofu nuggets. I just have to pause real quick and talk about the Wendy's nuggets from Brian Watson's book, Vegan Fast Food. He's been on this podcast, so go look it up. Vegan Fast Food. We talk about all of the great fast food that he makes in this book. But he does the Wendy's chicken nuggets. And when David and I were going through those blocks of tofu, I was like, I want those gosh darn chicken nuggets. So we made them and they're just so good. He does this great liquid, wash for them that you then dip it in the dry mixture and then you coat it all. And it just fries up just like the Wendy's one, like truly. And it's so delicious, so good. So that was a little treat we had last week at some point. Anyways, apricot orange barbecues, chewy tofu nuggets. No shade, Louise. I'm sure yours are great too. But if someone's looking for those Wendy's ones, I want to really shout out that vegan fast food book. Okay, sesame tofu, chili. Words. That's all they are, Dustin. Chili Colorado, five spice tofu, Indonesian satay, tofu loaf, tofu paprikash. Sweet and sour tofu, eggplant sandwiches, basic fried tofu, scrambled tofu, oven fried tofu, crunchy tofu cutlets or sticks, tofu with squash blossoms and basil or cilantro, and teriyaki tofu. Yes, ma'am. All right, this takes us into casseroles, savory pies, and one pot dishes. So for that, we've got a quiche. Yeah, now with the quiche, potato tofu casserole, enchiladas, tamale pie, tofu spinach pie, chili con tofu beans, tofu pot pie, onion and pepper pie, layered casserole, zucchini frittata, tofu rancheros, and Stuart. Do you guys remember Stuart from Mad TV? Stuart. Okay, the next one is stir fries. A whole collection of stir fries. How nice is that? And it's a nice little handful here. Almond tofu, walnut broccoli stir fry. stir-fried Chinese cabbage and tofu, yum yum. Tofu and broccoli and garlic sauce. That's it. That's the winner for me, hands down. Telling you, the older I get, the more simple it is. I'm here for that tofu and broccoli and garlic sauce, probably over a little brown rice. Come on, Miss Hagler. Fresh shiitake stir fry. I'm also big on that one. David doesn't like the mushrooms, so I'll have to make it sometime when he is not home. Okay. What else do we got here? Now we're getting into burgers, patties, balls, and filled rolls. Now, you know, I just had Joni Marie Newman on. Her episode just came out of the best veggie burgers on the planet, and I was so impressed to see all the different things you can make, all the different burgers you can make, because we've gotten so in the world of Impossible and Beyond and all that, but with hers, man, she really gets into some really neat stuff that you can make. I was always a hater on the veggie burger because I didn't like the way it squashed out of the bun when you ate it, but I made a couple from her book, and they were firm and they stuck together, you know. So I think it's possible. I think you can make yourself a nice sturdy burger. Actually, my first book, Simply Vegan, there's a pinto bean burger. I made sure that those suckers stayed together. It's a Southwestern pinto bean burger, y'all, with some store-bought guac and some store-bought salsa popped on that. Mm. That is a quick, delicious dish for you to enjoy anytime you want to. All right, we're on burgers, patties, balls, and filled rolls. Tofu spaghetti balls, yes ma'am. Sloppy Joes, seaside cakes, so we're talking about a crab cake there. Quick seaside cakes, oh, a quick version. Chinese sweet and sour balls, yes. Tofu burgers, mushroom tofu burgers, walnut tofu, beet burgers, tofu mushroom roll, tofu fuyang, falafel, Jewish style stuffed cabbage rolls. Now, this is why I love these books. Things like the beet burger. You know, when I was filming the Vegan Roadie, people would be like, oh, we came up with the beet burger. It's this thing, it's that, and it looks like it bleeds and all these things. And I'm like, I don't want none of that. Also, why are you acting like you're the first person to ever make something with beets? Like, what are you talking about? Because we got people like Louise Hagler who were making beet burgers back in 1983. You stand me? Okay, because what? Thank you. Say no more. Now we're going to look at pasta with tofu. That was an ode to Jennifer Lewis. If you love Jennifer Lewis, you want to watch the movie Jackie's Back. And you might understand some of the quotes that I just went spitting out there. I love me some little Jackie Washington. I love me some Jennifer Lewis. Anyway. All right. Pasta with tofu. Pasta primavera. There's a really great picture here. I don't know. Oh, it's the pasta primavera. It looks so creamy and yummy and delicious. So pasta primavera. Curried cashew tofu over pasta, mushroom almond tofu over pasta, eggplant lasagna, manicotti or herbed stuffed shells, Italian pasta with tofu, and basic Italian style tomato sauce. I'm in it with you, Louise Hagler, for all the pasta. Okay, now the fun chapter. Not that those aren't fun, but this is fun because it's portable foods. So what are we looking at for portable foods? Okay, we got fajitas. Okay, so are we talking more like, this seems more like, you know, like a little, like things you can put in your hand. So I'm going to call them handhelds. She's called them portable. I guess it's portable. You're picking it up from the plate to your mouth maybe. But like I was thinking more like lunchbox stuff. But okay, portable foods. To me, they're handhelds. Fajitas. Wontons. Talking about spring rolls. Talking about Mediterranean spring rolls. Talking about taquitos. Y'all feel me on some taquitos? I'm going to get into these. Tofu turnovers. Thoughts and feelings, anyone? Yeah, I don't want that. I'm looking at it right now. It's like an actual turnover. Let's see what she says, though. Turnovers are great finger food, hot or cold, for lunch boxes or picnics. So, okay, she is talking about on the go. On the go, go, go. They can also be frozen and reheated later. Love that journey. Make them mini size for appetizers. Very filling to suit your taste. Okay, so I'm not going to make myself a tofu turnover because that's a lot of work for me to get my tofu in, if I'm being honest. Because if I'm going to have like a turnover, I want like an apple turnover. I want something sweet and delicious if I'm going to have that dough. You know what I mean? But this is a fun little savory idea now that I think about it. And like if you maybe travel a little ramekin dipping sauce on the side, that might be super yummy. And the last one she has in here is tofu knishes, baby. She's got them tofu knishes in there. And that's our main dishes. Now we're looking at side dishes. So for the side dishes, we have a summer vegetable medley, cumin potatoes with tofu, Thai tofu peanut sauce with veggies here for that, penne ragatta with red pepper sauce, scallop cabbage, chilaquiles, stuffed baked tomatoes, walnut stuffed zucchini, tofu fried rice, risotto verde, tofu rice ring, corn pie, stuffed bell peppers con chile, and spinach souffle or timbal. Now, I'm going to look up that corn pay. Corn? Let's look up the corn. Does it say pie? No, that's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking up the tofu rice ring. Sorry, corn pie sounds delicious. Sounds like a pie with corn. I'm here for it. But I'm looking up the tofu rice ring. I just don't understand what that means. Like what? She says, this rice ring is especially attractive when filled with steam or stirred rice vegetables. Okay, so it goes into a ring mold. I mean, that's not my gig. That's when we're getting into this late 70s, early 80s, probably 60s thing here. I mean, it's cute. Huh. I'm just reading a little more. It says, press the mixture. So, you know, it's the tofu mixture, tofu rice. Press the mixture firmly into the prepared ring mold. Fit the ring mold inside another baking pan that has 1 inch of boiling water in the bottom and bake 20 to 25 minutes or until lightly browned on top. Remove the ring mold from the oven and let cool for 5 minutes. Loosen the edges with the flat side of the table of a table knife and turn out onto a platter. Fill the center of the rice ring with steamed or stir-fried vegetables. Okay, so I can see how this is really cool, actually, to serve at a table. So you got this ring of rice and tofu. Essentially, you're going to fill it up in the middle in the hole there, a bundt cake. You're going to fill the hole up with vegetables, and then people can sort of scoop in there, grab their vegetables and their rice. So that's fun. I'm not going to do it, but it's fun. Sounds very like 70s, am I right? A bundt cake. I watched My Big Fat Greek Wedding last night, and that cracks me up every time, the bundt cake situation. The bundt cake. You fixed it. If you know, you know. All right, so that's the end of our side dishes. That's taken us into breads, baby, breads. I love bread. She says, homemade breads have some of the most alluring aromas in the kitchen. Tofu can be added to bread, dough, or batter, or used as the base for a creamy filling. It increases the protein and makes a moister crumb using whole grain flours. With whole grain flours will further boost the nutritional value of the breads. Due to its amazing adaptability, tofu can even replace eggs in many conventional bread recipes. In this section, you'll find recipes for yeast breads, quick breads, tortillas, and noodles. Whether you use an electric mixer or stir and knead by hand, these recipes are well worth the effort. If you have a bread machine, be sure to follow the directions in the instruction manual that came with it in order to adapt these recipes. Great. Okay, so we've got, ooh, I love this already, focaccia. With tofu. It's focaccia. Focaccia with tofu. Now, I wonder if that's like, I've made a lot of focaccia before with like potatoes in it. I wonder if this is instead of, oh, there's a picture. It looks so good. Y'all know what this is going to do to me, right? It's a Saturday when I'm recording this. Oh no, I'm going to get off here and make focaccia because it's just what I do. It's just what I do. You know, I got other things I need to do today, but why not make a focaccia, right? So it looks like, yeah, so we're going to use the tofu in place of where I might typically have used, potato. I love that. Potato bread or rolls is the next one, actually. Pumpernickel bread. She's making pumpernickel bread in here. Who, when they were a kid or even as an adult now, had pumpernickel bread with a spinach dip? For the holidays. We actually had it this year. And what was cool is my mother-in-law, she really went to town making sure David and I had food, vegan food to eat. And she made all these recipes from my books, y'all. And in, I think it's Epic Vegan, the first Epic Vegan, there's a stuffed shell recipe that's a spinach and artichoke stuffed shell. She was such a genius. She halved the recipe, so she only stuffed half the shells with the filling, and then she kept the rest of the filling aside so that David and I could dip the bread, the pumpernickel bread, in the spinach dip. It was so sweet and so smart, right? So smart. All right, next we got buckwheat cakes, rum rolls, blueberry Sally Lunn, tofu pancakes, Danish, tofu French toast, English muffins, flour tortilla, hush puppies, sesame tofu crackers, banana bread, noodles. So she's doing some pasta in here, and cornmeal muffins. Yeah, how great is that? What a nice little collection in here. I love these English muffins in here. Sesame tofu crackers. She's making some danishes straight up. Oh, and tofu pancakes. So it looks like we're using flour mixed with a little bit of tofu, and that's going to give you that protein in there to give you that nice chew when you make your pancake there. So the French toast, I'm going to guess it's a mixture. Yeah. So you're using a mixture of tofu with some, you know, a little bit of water and sweetener of choice, ground cinnamon and salt. And then you're going to dip your bread in that to make your tofu French toast. Very smart, Louise Hagler. I love it. Okay. Now she's not leaving me hanging. You know, my favorite part of any book, everybody. Time for the sweet treats, baby, this evening. I want some sweet treats, baby, tonight. Okay. So she says in here, tofu excels at replacing eggs and dairy products and creamy sweets, whether it is transformed into pie, pastry, cheesecake, pudding, topping, cake, cookies, bars, or ice cream. Blended tofu takes on whatever flavor is added to it. Many of our family favorites are included here, especially ones for the holidays. For an everyday sweet, it's easy to make a simple fruit smoothie. Just process silken or softer silken tofu in a blender with your favorite fresh or frozen fruit until it is smooth and creamy. Add sweetener to taste and add a little soy milk to facilitate processing if needed. So we have sections in here, pie and desserts, tofu cheesecakes, tofu pudding and toppings, cakes, cookies and bars, and ice cream. So let's get in here. Oh, black bottom pie, coconut tofu cream pie, orange vanilla baked custard, pumpkin pie, chocolate peppermint velvet pie. And I'm looking at this chocolate pie right now. It looks so yummy, everybody. Frozen peanut butter pie, plum noodle kugel, banana dessert, and tofu ganache or truffles. How yummy is all of that? Next section we're getting into is cheesecakes. So we got three cheesecakes in here. We got a straight up regular cheesecake, a maple tofu cheesecake, and a chocolate cheesecake. I got to tell you, I won't be making these. I've made so many tofu cheesecakes and I do not care for them. I've made a lot of great sort of like, you know, I use the cheesecake, the store or the cream cheese, the store bought vegan cream cheese. I will say this, do not use BioLife to make a vegan cream cheesecake. The oil content in it is too high and you just end up with sort of like a soupy mess of oil on top of your cheesecake. Sorry, BioLife, which is weird because BioLife has a cheesecake recipe on their website, and I tried it specifically because I had previously used their cream cheese in a cheesecake recipe I was testing, and I was like, well, this turned out not great. So I was like, let me look at their website to see if they have any recommendations for using it for cheesecake. Well, no, they don't have a recommendation on how to best practice, but they certainly do have a cheesecake recipe. So I was like, maybe this is my foul. So let me make this. Same thing happened. So BioLife, you need to stop knocking your cream cheese around as an option for cheesecakes because it's not true. Now, I don't want BioLife coming after me because I do have this to say. I freaking love BioLife. If I had to, it's in my top like three vegan cheeses probably. I love it on pizza. I love it on quesadillas. I love it on, what am I trying to think of that? They're feta cheese. So good. And they make a lot. They're mature cheddar. They're Parmesan. David and I are a freak over their Parmesan. We keep it block in the house regularly. I got a brand new zester just so I could like shave it super thinly. Like, I mean, we love their Parmesan cheese. So BioLife, I love you, baby, but you got to be real about your cream cheese. The oil content is too high in there to be making a cheesecake, okay? When it comes to making cheesecakes with store-bought vegan cream cheese, I'm sorry, everybody, but I'm going back to the OG. Tofutti does it. You know what other cream cheese I don't like? Miyoko's. Sorry, don't like that ish. It's hard. It's too tangy. Like, it's all tang. It's not good. Oh, I'm getting feisty now on this cream cheese thing. It just sucks because you go, you know, I try these products so I can talk about them, especially to like institutions when I'm doing work with PCRM and all that. And businesses send me products also to try. And it's good for me to know so that when I'm talking to food service people and they want to like sub something out quick, I can think of it. But the cream cheese world, you spend a lot for those cream cheeses. And man, they're not that I want it, it needs to be tastes like cream cheese to me. Then I don't want it to be hard. I don't want it to be grainy. I don't want it to be gritty. I want it to be soft and light and just have the slightest touch of tang, and luscious and creamy and spreadable. That's what I want. BioLife's the cream cheese. Now BioLife, I will say this. Well, it might not be great for cheesecake. It's a fantastic cream cheese. It's delicious. So I'm not saying BioLife's cream cheese is bad. It's delicious, but I wouldn't be making a cheesecake with it. Kite Hills is fine, but let me tell you, and David and I talked about this on here before, twice now, maybe thrice, we've gotten their cream cheese. We actually don't get it anymore because of this. We've gotten their cream cheese. We bring it home, and there's like mold. One time there was a growth of something like real nasty in it. Didn't look like mold. We couldn't tell what it was. Another time was mold. Another time was mold. And that was it. Third time, we're like, we're done. We're not buying. And the expiration date is like months ahead. So like it wasn't expired. I sent pictures to the company. They never replied back to me. Not to throw shade on Kite Hill, but I'm just telling it like it is. I have used their ricotta. Haven't had problems with that, but it's also like $11 a container for like an 8-ounce package of ricotta. Y'all, make your own tofu ricotta. It's not worth, like, get a $2 package of tofu and make your own ricotta, because spending $11 on a ricotta from Kite Hill is, I'm sorry, absurd and ridiculous. Do not do it. Anyways, again, fired up today. Woo, we were just talking about cheesecakes. We're going to move into tofu puddings and topping. Okay, so what do we got here? Ooh, I love a good pudding. I really do. I really love a good pudding. We got a carob pudding. Don't love that. Orange date pudding, vanilla pudding, orange pudding, banana pudding, chocolate pudding, apricot whipped pudding, strawberry pudding, lemon pudding, creamy mango pudding, banana date pudding, sweet and creamy topping. No, it's just called sweet and creamy topping. She says, serve this luscious topping as you would whipped cream. There we go. See, I need it to be called kind of what it is, so I know. For the best flavor and texture, use only very soft, very fresh, soft tofu. Okay. Now, banana date pudding. What's in the banana pudding? We got firm regular tofu, bananas, sweetener of choice, and oil, which is optional. That's interesting. I find it semi-interesting. I really am curious about these puddings. How yummy is that and easy is that banana pudding? And we all want a good banana pudding, right? I love that. And I was intrigued also by the mango pudding and lemon pudding. Oh, he wants pudding. I didn't know I wanted pudding so much. Pudding. Okay. Cakes is our next one. Y'all know I love a cake. Want it to be my birthday every day so I can just eat cake. We have a blueberry lemon cake, carrot cake, creamy filled crumb cake, crumb, shortcake, chocolate pudding cake, and peach strawberry upside down cake. I'm into that. That sounds really nice. Peach strawberry upside down cake. Cookies and bars. Cookies and bars is what we're getting on next here. Let's see. Cookies and bars. Nice long list here. Jam dot cookies. Peanut butter cookies. Chocolate brownies. Soft molasses cookies. Oatmeal cookies. Chocolate chip bars. Banana chocolate chip cookies. Carob brownies. Whole wheat bittersweet brownies. Pecan coconut bars. Tofu fudge chews. Ooh. Gingerbread cutout cookies. And date and nut bars. Now, I want to look at these tofu fudge chews, everybody. So these cookies keep well in an airtight container. They have a moist, chewy center with a crisp, sugar-coated exterior. Tofu fudge chews are pictured on page 169. So let me take a look here. I was picturing fudge, but I see that. They look more like a brownie. Yeah, they look more like a brownie. I'm here for that. Cookies and bars, everybody. Cookies and bars. Okay, last section. Here we go. Closing out the tofu cookery with ice cream. A few options here. Strawberry tofu ice cream, pineapple tofu ice cream, carob tofu ice cream, chocolate tofu ice cream, banana tofu ice cream, and peach tofu ice cream. Now let's take a look at how one of these tofu ice creams come together. She says, process in a blender in 4 equal batches until smooth and creamy, and it's 2 pounds of soft regular tofu, 2 packages frozen unsweetened strawberries, 2 cups sugar or sweetener of choice, and 1/3 cups unsweetened soy milk, 1/3 cup canola, so that fat is going to give you that nice chew to your ice cream, everybody. I was wondering where that was going to come in, if we were going to have some fat or sugar, or what we're going to do here. And we got a lot of sugar in there too. We got 2 cups of sugar. So this is ice cream. I bet it's really yummy. Quarter cup fresh squeezed lemon juice. Round out the flavors there. And 2 tables of vanilla extract and 1/4 teaspoon salt. So we're doing the typical ice cream things in here. It says freeze in a hand-operated or electric ice cream maker according to manufacturer's instructions. So it looks like you're going to need an ice cream maker for these, but they look like they're totally worth it. But really, it's making ice cream like you know how to make it, putting it all together with lots of sugar and lots of fat in an ice cream maker. So I'm here for it. Sounds like a yummy ice cream collection to me, and I will be sure to remember that this is here when I want to use up some tofu, because I make some ice cream with it. You know what I'm saying? And y'all, that is The Tofu Cookery by Louise Hagler. So happy to share this book with you today. And excited to, you know, when I got those 6 blocks of tofu again, you better believe I'm going to be opening this tofu book up. I wonder if I should get the tofu quick and easy. I feel like a lot of these are quick and easy already, but I still might explore that tofu quick and easy. All right, I'm going to go make sure I put this book on my new Excel spreadsheet of cookbooks so that I know exactly where to find it. And I hope you'll tune in next week for a brand new episode of Keep On Cooking. Thanks for joining me today, and I'll see you then. Until then, keep on cooking, and remember, it's nice to be nice. This has been a Muzzy Cat production.